The Crude Life.
This segment is sponsored by Train ND Northwest. It's a competitive world. Train for it.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out. Still some of us every night be making toast to you, like isn't it nice that somebody had the presence of mind to speak up for you. Let there be light.
Let's go to the Zoom line where we've got Kunal Patel with us with the Dallas Federal Reserve. I forget which chapter, which district it is. Is it the 11th district, 7th district? Which district, Kunal?
We're with the 11th district.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing today, by the way?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you doing today?
You know, not too bad. I'm up here in the Dakotas, and we're starting to get our spring thaw coming in. We just got socked with 2 feet of snow like last week, and then 2 days later, it's 50 degrees. So we might have another flood season on our hands. Who knows? You're down in Dallas. What is 75 degrees today? Everything's fine? People in shorts? What?
Good guess on the 75. I think that we had a little bit of cold weather earlier, a couple days ago.
Oh, that's right. You guys got hit, too, with a little bit of 40-degree weather.
Exactly. The funny thing is, I don't even know if it got to 40. It might have been a little bit closer to the 50s. But it was definitely a surprise for April.
Speaking of hot in Texas, most of the oil and gas activity seems to be coming out of Texas, at least the oil activity. I know Pennsylvania's very big in the gas activity, but when we're taking a look at the Permian Basin and Eagleford, the Haynesville, I'm not sure if the Wolf Camp came up in the survey or not, but let's go ahead and take a look at the recent survey that came out March 29th. Is available at the DallasFed.org if you'd like to go ahead and take a look at this survey. But what's kind of the quick takeaway for those, if you're an oil exec or you're an investor, what's the takeaway for those people?
So the main takeaway, and let me take a step back just in case, like I think there's quite a few that are familiar with the survey, but it is, you know, in this latest survey, we did survey 147 upstream oil and gas firms. The data was collected from March 15th to the 23rd. 95 were exploration and production firms, 52 were oil and gas support services firms, generally known as oil field services firms. And we have these indexes that kind of give you an idea whether there's an expansion or a contraction over the prior quarter. It gives an idea of direction. And the main takeaways is that many of you noticed that there's been an expansion over the past like 2+ years. And the latest activity index is suggesting that the expansion essentially is, in many ways, kind of like stalled out. The index came in close to zero. So it's kind of indicating that activity was just largely unchanged from the prior quarter. The other key takeaways, many of you know this, you know, costs, they could just continue to increase. We did see a little bit of easing in the supply chain for this current quarter. Employment growth, that continues, but it does suggest maybe it's a little bit slower than in prior quarters, but that wage inflation continues to remain. If I was to leave off another big takeaway, just the executives have started to, you know, their outlook, it turned negative. Again, this is a quarter over quarter. So compared to where they were last quarter, they're a little bit more pessimistic. And then when it comes to uncertainty, they're significantly more uncertain. I think what we saw in this latest quarter was, of course, you know, a softening in commodity prices, both oil and natural gas. And then, of course, in our comment section, if the executives allow us to publish their comments, they're anonymous, but they can give you an idea of the reasons for them to be uncertain, whether it's cost inflation, whether it's continuing to be labor and material shortages, or it just could be price volatility. And, of course, there's a lot on the regulatory environment. So a lot of takeaways. I tried to shorten it down as much as I could, but I think those are the main takeaways from our latest survey.
You know, one of the memories that was going through my head when you were talking was, you know, we started the conversation with Dallas, and I've been to Dallas a few times, and I've been to a few skyscrapers down there. A lot of oil and gas companies have skyscrapers in Dallas, and that's where their corporate offices are, Houston, Dallas, etc. Denver, I guess, would be another place. But in Dallas, I specifically remember one company, and I'm not going to mention their name because that I don't want to take away from the story, but there was four. They got to at least be making six figures if you're, you know, if you're a C-suite executive. So I figure there's close to $1 million worth of salaries in this room. And I'm trying to explain to them that, you know, the oil and gas industry really is going down the path of cigarettes and coal and just being targeted in a very public anti, you know, PR way. And I basically got escorted out of the office with security. I mean, boy, they didn't want to hear that, nothing to do with it. And now that, you know, a week later, a Wall Street Journal had a headline that said oil and gas is the new cigarettes or something like that. And I thought, yeah, someone else says it, they hear it. I'm hearing more and more people really start to, this sentiment's picking up more and more that they're right, really getting concerned now that this might become a reality where the image of oil and gas is not as popular as they once thought. Did that come up in your survey at all? The industry image impacting any part of the industry? Because I'm hearing it up here in the Bakken.
So we did not ask like a specific like question around this. Obviously the topic has come up from time to time, and we do have these anonymous executive comments, and they do kind of reference the sentiment that the industry has from, let's say, whether it's the public or the government or from financial providers. Some of it could be just it could be something related to, as you know, ESG, but sometimes it could just be just a view about fossil fuels in general. But we actually did not ask any like specific questions, so it kind of falls outside like the study. In many times is purely about, you know, what's the activity in oil and gas, you know, what's the employment, what's happening to costs, but the sentiment can make a difference, right? Sentiment can impact, as you know, financing. It can impact valuations, but the comments do kind of touch on some of this maybe, but they don't I guess call it out as much as you kind of mentioned it. So the most one that we could kind of correlate to one of the questions we did ask, it's a one-off question. It was, which of the following is the primary factor causing worker shortages in the oil field? And we asked this question because pretty much for the last 2 years, every energy survey in the comment section, there's at least two or three comments around challenges, you know, securing labor, turnover, wage inflation, and so on and so forth. So we did get 128 responses. Again, they were asked to pick the primary factor.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life Week in Review. Make a match that lit the sky, looking at all those cables on to the light that caught my eye. Never could forget that steam in my breath and my room.
Ready to launch your small business or take your farm from some acres to a lot of acres? How about that big proposal?
Will you marry me?
Or that huge surprise? That forever dream home, the one you can take anywhere. Wherever you are in life, be sure you're ready to say yes. First International Bank and Trust, say yes to living first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Did you know that I was a 1099 entrepreneur at age 10? That's right. When all the highly paid executives, editors, and journalists did their job, they handed the finished newspaper off to me as a 10-year-old independent contractor that could either deliver 200 newspapers to 200 homes or to two dumpsters. One of the beautiful aspects of entrepreneurism is they're often rooted with solving a problem. It's the intuition that makes your life better. Entrepreneurs, innovators exude emotion, just like the entrepreneurs at mystore.com. Folks, check it out. Use the promo code Otis. Go to mystore.com. Go to mypillow.com. Use the 800 number, 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. 68, and don't forget to use the promo code OTIS.
This segment is sponsored by Train ND Northwest. It's a competitive world. Train for it.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground.
Welcome back. My name is Jason Spieth, sitting in today. Kenley Nebaker on the line with us, Train ND Northwest. But you're in Bismarck today, huh?
I am in Bismarck, yeah. I have some meetings here in Bismarck today and then testifying on House Bill 1519 tomorrow. So.
Oh, you're testifying on a House bill, huh? What's that, if you want to give that a quick plug? I mean, are you testifying as a lobbyist or testifying on behalf of the state? I guess I didn't know you testified, man. Testify.
Yeah, I do some testimony for the legislature here and there, not as a lobbyist, but as a member of the university system, usually also with my role as a chairman of the board for the UAS council. Then I do some testimony there. But 1519 is a UAS bill that is aimed at providing some monies to help with wide-scale adoption of UAS in the state, help different sectors to be able to start providing some monies to help, you know, the ag sector and the emergency response sectors and others to help them start to be able to spend some money on wide-scale adoption of using drones to move things forward.
I was going to ask you about the UAS and like mosquito spraying, because I keep seeing that as kind of a entry-level entrepreneurial opportunity for individuals looking to get into that UAS drone space. And with the, you know, obviously the ESG University, we're pretty attuned to anything with pesticides and fossil fuel derivatives and that sort of thing. And so we kind of pay attention to that a little bit. But from an entrepreneurial standpoint, when it comes to the UAS industry, is that mosquito spraying, is that a entry level right now in that space?
Mosquito spraying and weed spraying are both.
Weed spraying too, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No, weed spraying is in, you know, like weeds on the ground, yeah. Both of those are really good opportunities at this point in time with really not a lot of competition. For someone that wants to get into that, or a large, I mean, the demand is massive. And so there's all this unrealized demand and no supply at this point in time. The process to get there to legally do it it's a little bit hanky, but what we've done at Train ND Northwest is we've actually committed ourselves to providing a pathway for people to get their Part 137, to get their aerial application license, so on and so forth, that will allow them to apply those chemicals using drones legally. And so we've actually got the training pathway, and people are we'll be unveiling that this spring, and people have a great opportunity ahead of them if they want to take that on. I honestly think that some early adopters could write their own checks moving forward if they wanted to get into that industry.
How does somebody get into that? Because it is a very difficult industry to get into. But for my past, for example, you know, I've been covering and working in the UAS space since 2006. And boy, early on, I was the whipping boy, man. I would have people in the media tell me I was on the conspiracy planet. They'd have tinfoil hats dropped off at my desk, and they would laugh at me and make fun of me. I honestly got, in 2008, this is no kidding, 2008, I had somebody on that just, it was a North Dakota person. They had just returned from Israel, and they were working on drones the size of honeybees in 2008. And I'm not going to say the gentleman's name, but he's one of the top radio authorities in the state. I got reprimanded by him for getting into cuckoo land talk. And I'm thinking, if you drive an hour north, they got one of the biggest UAS things happening right now in the state. So we've come a long way. Before the conversation, we talked about just the advent of the telephone, from leasing telephones from the phone company to where we're at today. So How does somebody get into that UAS space? Because it was very difficult for a long time because of the education factor. Now, it almost seems like if you're not in it, you're kind of getting behind.
Yeah, I do think that my wife often says to me that life is about timing. And I think that, you know, what you experienced there was a little bit about timing. I have not experienced those same challenges getting into the UAS industry. And I think that so much of that is about when I started and when things started to take off and where the state of North Dakota and where the nation was at that point in time. I think that if a person wants to get into that industry now, it's really about training yourself how to fly and then what to do with it and making a great market use for what you can do with a UAS, whether that's spraying, whether that's collecting data, whether that's whatever. There's just all of this unrealized potential out there right now. And so it's kind of a new frontier. Matt Dunleavy, who literally wrote the book on UAS in North Dakota, the history of UAS in North Dakota, he speaks in his book about UAS being a new frontier. And I think that's such a great way to look at it, is it is a completely new frontier with unrealized potential at this point in time for anybody who wants to come and explore it. Come get trained and make your use case and go.
North Dakota, one of the 7 or 6 states that was awarded a test site to be a state. And, of course, North Dakota is on the ground floor, so we're very innovative when it comes to the UAS market. And that Vantis network that's kind of being built is going to be somewhat of a template for the rest of the nation, isn't it?
Yeah, no, the Vantis network is so far ahead as far as thinking about being able to fly UAS beyond visual line of sight, right? So this line of sight, visual line of sight flight has been happening for quite some time where you're flying and keeping the drone within your sight as a pilot. But that limits the potential, right? And it limits the efficiency, it limits the ability to make money. And so when we start talking about beyond visual line of sight, the industry calls that the Holy Grail. And not really tongue in cheek, it truly is the Holy Grail, because it allows them to increase efficiencies to the point where just about anything is financially plausible. And so the Vantis network is so key in making that possible, as the Vantis network here in North Dakota provides that communication relay that allows you to go beyond visual line of sight. When all is said and done and everything's in place, it'll be border to border and border to border of North Dakota. And so it allows for that communication. It also allows for you to see what else is in the air so that you can safely fly.
To listen to the full-length interview, Kenley Nebaker, about Evolution Hybrid, or to check out other parts in other chapters of this project, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com.
Time now for an update from The Crude Life, the most trusted voice in energy.
Time now for another update with the Earth's champion, Johnny Green, with The Crude Life. But first, a word from a championship sponsor.
Ready to launch your small business or take your farm from some acres to a lot of acres? How about that big proposal?
Will you marry me?
Or that huge surprise? That forever dream home, the one you can take anywhere. Wherever you are in life, be sure you're ready to say yes. First International Bank and Trust. Say yes to living first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's Financial Literacy Awareness Month, and here is another trusted expert interview from The Crude Life. Today we hear from Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, one of the heavyweights in economic intelligence and a champion for small business.
If you look at it steady state-wise, small businesses, defined as those with 500 or fewer employees by the SBA, employ over half of the private sector workforce and produce half of the private sector GDP. So small business is really big business.
Small business is really big business.
Yeah, now it's not doing very well lately, but then most of the economy's not doing so well. Small business sector isn't really going anywhere, especially since it it dominates the service sector, and consumer spending on services has been very, very slow. So we're not growing much at all. So let's say zero. So zero plus four divided by two is 2% growth. That's what we've had since the recovery started, 2% growth. And until we can get the small business sector back to life, hiring people so we can get the unemployment rate to fall, you know, we're going to have sluggish growth.
In your opinion, how important is the energy sector to small business?
Well, it's important to small business, but to the economy. I mean, there are two kind of bright spots in the economic outlook. Housing, right? So we're coming from housing starts at only 500,000 after we were at 2.2 million. We fell all the way to 500,000. We're back. So maybe we'll do a million at an annual rate this year. So that'll create a lot of jobs that we lost back in the housing market. The other is energy. Energy is an incredible bright spot.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Bill Dunkelberg or to check out other energy experts, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. From the staff here at the Crude Life Daily Update, my name is Johnny Green with another championship update, reminding each and every one of you, all energy has a purpose, and we are all energy. Go make it a championship day.
The Crude Life.
Did you know that I was a 1099 entrepreneur at age 10? That's right. When all the highly paid executives, editors, and journalists did their job, they handed the finished newspaper off to me as a 10-year-old independent contractor that could either deliver 200 newspapers to 200 homes or to two dumpsters. I chose the 200 homes. Since then, I've been supporting, promoting, and engaging with entrepreneurs of all ages and walks of life. Go to mystore.com. All season slippers as low as $25. Coconut teeth whitener, $15 with the promo code Otis. Go to mystore.com. Go to mypillow.com. Use the 800 number, 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. And don't forget to use the promo code Otis. This segment is sponsored by Train ND Northwest. It's a competitive world. Train for it.
That's what love is. Like, that is
Who am I that I would push back? Is that the loving thing? You made a bet for me to lie in. You know, I'm trying.
The Crude Life.
This is a neat little piece.
Okay.
There,
that little buffalo.
Yeah. That's a... What kind of metal is that?
That's just a little Franklin Mint collector's item.
It goes in, huh?
China.
Oh, okay.
Just a little flip. Designed to do what it does. You just look at it.
So what does one do with those claws?
With these?
Yeah, that seems a little...
Most of this stuff is all decorative.
Okay.
People buy it just to have sitting around. Walk around with that on your hand, I don't believe.
I'm partial to knives. I don't own a gun, but I got about 15 knives. And that's why I'm just fascinated by these. Okay, all right. We're with Ray Gentry, Raymond Gentry, pawnbroker. 2002, that's pre-oil boom.
Way pre-oil boom, yes.
How has your business been pre and now that the oil boom's going on?
Well, since the boom started, I'd say our business doubles every year. Many different reasons, of course. People run into tights, need money, come to town. Need money to survive till they get a paycheck. Pre-oil boom, the average North Dakota, and our economy's always been pretty steady. So my business wasn't utilized as much to where the influx of people coming in from other states did use the pawn shops there. So automatically they come here, they're utilizing the businesses a lot more now than pre-oil boom.
Are you finding people are selling or are they pawning them where they...
The pawn business, a lot of people are pawning. We probably have about an 80% redemption rate on our pawns. People come back and do pick their items back up. Of course, those hard cases that people want their item back, but something else comes up and it's more important or takes precedent over them getting the item back, which is sad, but I do my best to work with them any way I can to help them get their items back if they're sentimental value or whatever.
What are the percentages of people pawning versus people just outright selling to you?
I'd probably say 70 to 30. 70% pawn, 30% sale.
Are you kidding me? It's that high of a pond.
A lot of times people say, oh, there's many different reasons that they would come in, say, if they're in welding and they're transitioning to oil. They don't need their welding gear anymore. So they'll come in and, you know, get rid of that to help acquire some of the new tools they need for a new trade. People that have been here, I've seen guys come and go pre-oil boom to now. You know, they come in and work a year, say, 25 an hour. Well, at paying $2,000 a month rent, they sit back and after a year go, well, I can work at home for $15 an hour and pay $500 a month rent, and I live just as good, and I'll be close to family, so they'll cut out and head back home after giving it a year's go. And some of the guys really just want to get out and change their environment. And North Dakota's a beautiful country. If you come here and want a really nice place to live, it is a really good place.
I'm looking around. I see quite a few knives and guns and crossbows, not crossbows, but compound bows. North Dakota, obviously an outdoors type of environment. I would imagine that those types of sales have been steady in your past decade of doing business?
Been really steady. You know, usually during the spring and late winter into summer, we'll pick up and acquire guns. Then when hunting season comes back around, we'll diminish our guns down again. Handguns, of course, have been big sellers, especially with the influx of people coming in and people looking at protecting their properties, which our crime rates have changed dramatically over the last 4 years. And you know, that kind of all plays together mm-hmm. a little bit.
I talked to Sheriff Clarence Toohey. He showed me some of the increases in concealed permits in North Dakota.
Yes.
I would imagine you are seeing a lot of those people coming in here, or are they buying them at Shields Hardware?
Well, a little everywhere. They'll go to Shields or Runnings. Runnings has a big selection of handguns down there. But they do come in and look at what we got and what we're offering for the value. You know, to save the right amount of money, and that's the tricky thing in the pawn business. A person will buy used if the savings is there versus going and buying a new one.
Mm-hmm. How about tools? You mentioned, you know, a guy might decide to go home, sell his welding equipment and take off.
We get a lot of construction tools and stuff like that. You know, I had guys that come through from California and Washington that they would come out here, didn't secure residency, no one explained to them the cost of living, and a lot of jobs here want you to have residency or a permanent place to live before they hire you, and end up having to sell their construction tools or whatever just to get the gas money to get back home. I've seen several of those.
And do you deal at all with ammo?
No, I'm not dealing ammunition.
Have you did you notice if there was any sort of increase in gun sales around the same time these ammunition shortages were happening? And any anecdotal or anything that you've seen on that?
You know, in that market, which earlier this year, of course, we had the gun shortage. Everybody was buying everything they could get their hands on. Guns flying off the shelves, and you couldn't find them. You would pay, even in a used market, more than what you could have bought a new one for 6 months prior. Then when everything started changing over and none of the gun bans went into effect, well, everybody was buying ammunition along with the government, Homeland Security and Social Security buying ammunition, which kind of put a really stress on the supply. So at that point in time, the gun sales really slowed down because people couldn't get the ammunition. And basically, a gun without a bullet, it's a pretty mean stick.
Mm-hmm. You know? Just a piece of metal.
Yep.
How about non-lethal weapons? I see that you have, looks like new zap guns, stun guns. Obviously, pawn shops are known for selling used items. Is there that much of a demand that you saw there was a market for that?
Well, at one point it was. We've always carried them here. The stun guns, we have pepper spray. There, I would say, 2 years ago, about the time the oil boom really, really kicked in, we couldn't keep them on the shelves. Now it's slowed way back down. Either one, everybody has them. Or they bought them and says, we want to do pepper spray, and then they move into a stun gun, and then it ends up into a concealed weapon permit and a handgun, which diminishes the demand for the stun gun or the pepper spray.
Any other observations that you might have from a pawnbroker's eye out here in the oil patch, primarily when that surge started happening, that 2009, 2010 time frame when it just kind of skyrocketed out? Obviously, being on Highway 22, you've had a lot of construction over the past 2 years that may help or hurt your business, I don't know, but just kind of some of these observations as the community is growing.
Well, as it grows, of course, you know, building is hard for people to keep up. The traffic, of course, is greatly increased, which they're doing a really good job here at trying to get the streets in order and maintain and deal with the influx of population. business has picked up on the note, like I said, with people that utilize pawn shops. Our sales, there are certain items I don't get in. Specialty construction tools are tough, sheetrock, carpeting, and with so many houses being built, we just aren't seeing any of those items. Well, I said, other than that, I think everything is really running smooth here.
To listen to the full-length interview with Lou Gegebratten or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com.
Now for an update from the Crude Life, the most trusted voice in energy.
Time now for another update with the Earth's champion Johnny Green with the Crude Life. But first, a word from a championship sponsor.
Ready to launch your small business or take your farm from some acres to a lot of acres? How about that big proposal?
Will you marry me?
Or that huge surprise? That forever dream home, the one you can take anywhere. Wherever you are in life, be sure you're ready to say yes. First International Bank and Trust. Say yes to living first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to The Crude Life. My name is Johnny Green, the Earth's champion, and to have a strong mind, you need to have financial literacy. And this month is Financial Literacy Month. We have CNBC's Brian Sullivan recapping his Bakken oil field trip from 2016, talking about some financial literacy in Shale Play USA.
$14 billion company 3 years ago, basically today came out and said, we don't know if we can continue to exist.
Wow.
They use the term going concern. That you probably know that's a business concern. We are something like we are questioning our ability to continue as a going concern. That's an accounting term, basically saying, not sure we can pay the bills. They deferred a debt payment. This was a $14 billion company 3 years ago, and that's why I got involved in this story. It's not just that I enjoy oil and gas, it's that the debt levels, the debt angle to the story is the one that has not been told or was really understood a couple of years ago. And that's why this is different than previous booms and busts, because of the amount of debt that was taken on by companies and individuals. I mean, look at the state of North Dakota. You got a $1 billion budget shortfall. How is that possible? Did they save anything? No. I feel like with the oil producers, it's kind of like, well, it's just a matter of time before oil recovers and goes higher again. And it's kind of like us saying, well, it's just a matter of time before ad rates go higher again. What if they don't? You have to operate your company like that. And if they do, great. If they don't, then you're prepared. But you can't assume prices are going to go high. You know, I think we have recency bias because oil's been above 100 a barrel twice in the last 5 or 6 years. If you go back 40 or 50 years and inflation adjusts, the price of oil is like $40, $45.
From the staff here at the Crude Life Daily Update, my name is Johnny Green with another championship update, reminding each and every one of you, all energy has a purpose, and we are all energy. Go make it a championship day.
The Crude Life.
Did you know that I was a 1099 entrepreneur at age 10? That's right. When all the highly paid executives, editors, and journalists did their job, they handed the finished newspaper off to me as a 10-year-old independent contractor that could either deliver 200 newspapers to 200 homes or to two dumpsters. I chose the 200 homes. Since then, I've been supporting, promoting, and engaging with entrepreneurs of all ages and walks of life. Go to mystore.com. All season slippers as low as $25. Coconut teeth whitener, $15 with the promo code Otis. Go to mystore.com. Go to mypillow.com. Use the 800 number, 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. And don't forget to use the promo code Otis. This segment is sponsored by Train ND Northwest. It's a competitive world. Train for it.
But I could write a book, call it Made You Look.
Leave it up to me, can I let it be? Cause I know I should.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm your host, Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. You can catch The Crude Life right here on Super Talk 1270. Also, follow the latest in ESG, environmental social governance, at ESGU.org with Jason. He has a lot of insightful information that you need to know to navigate through what's going on in the ESG world. You can follow him with ESGU.org. I'm Steve Bach, and this is Talk of the Town on a Wattage Wednesday, and we've got a couple guests joining us. Jason, actually, you know these guys pretty well, so I'll let you do the invites.
Well, it's iTank Data. Some people I met through the conferences and through the different interviews and things like that. And they had a one of those pieces of automated products that caught my interest because, you know, Steve, we've been talking about the automation for years in the oil and gas
technology
industry.
Yeah.
And so their technology kind of caught my eye through The Crude Life because, you know, we do a lot of industrial innovation. And so Stuart was speaking last week down in Houston, and because of the snow, we got stuck up here. But we were going to go down there and actually do the show from Houston so that we could talk to these guys. And Bobby, are you still on the line? Do we have you on there?
Absolutely. Bobby Atkins right here.
Bobby Atkins. All right. I don't just Stuart joined us as well. Want to bring in Stuart from iTank Data at this point before we take a break here in just a couple minutes. The Crude Life, we were going to head down to Houston. We got socked in with a little bit of snow. But I tell you, folks, it was for a global chemical conference. And iTank Data was one of the featured speakers on there. First of all, Stuart, welcome to the program. And what was it you were speaking on, and who are you speaking with? I saw it was a couple heavyweights in the industry.
There were some heavyweights for sure. There was a gentleman from Murphy Oil and a gentleman from I believe it was Oxy, if I remember correctly. And the topic of the panel was to, you know, bring an update and perspective to analyzing the opportunity to use additional technology from a chemical standpoint in the oil field, how to analyze it, how to review it, how to, you know, process the information from the companies and what to look for. And so what we were able to talk about in the group was, you know, just boots on the ground. What does this mean to your people, you know, that are doing this job? What does it mean to the operators? What kind of data can they now expect to bring in that they haven't been able to bring in before? And, you know, we just talked about the fact that, you know, in today's world, people are busy. They've got a lot going on. They've got a lot of stresses. A lot of these oil people are, you know, in their trucks at 5 a.m. heading out to the field to do work, and to sit there and go, okay, how am I going to find time to install technology and to use it? You know, we had to give them, and we're giving them, you know, ways to look at it and say, okay, this is not going to be that hard. We can get it going. And then once we get it out and deployed very easily, my life is going to be substantially better. I mean, we talked about it. We said, you know, imagine, you know, rolling onto the field at 6 a.m. and you've got all your tank levels on your computer or on your phone. You can see all your tank levels first thing in the morning. So you don't even have to drive and look at all of them. You can figure out from the data who we need to go check on, who we need to go look at. And then from the operator side, you know, bottom line is you're trying to get longer run times, and your biggest expenditure supporting that is your chemical production chemicals. And so, you know, if you're spending all that money on it and, it, you know, you're trying to optimize that, make sure it's definitely working, having tank level usage data. So, you know, what did we get? What we set the rates to deploy? Did we get that optimum benefit out of that? Do we get the longest run times that we get? Can we improve it? You know, what impacts did we have? And so ahead.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to jump in. I was taking a look at the clock there for a second, but I was just thinking in my head, boy, you guys, and I'm not your marketing director by any means, but you guys, what you're describing is a Fitbit for the field. I mean, it's a Fitbit for the facility. That's really what you're talking about. You get up in the morning, you check out your Fitbit, and you know exactly how your field and your facility is. That's a fantastic thing.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I saw that we got to hit a commercial break, Steve. So you owe me one.
All right, definitely. But I want to come back and talk a little bit about the efficiencies and the logistics side of things and what that means for workforce, because that's something we're up against here in North Dakota. In fact, news coming out yesterday, our former lieutenant governor now in charge of trying to find more workforce for the oil patch in western North Dakota. This is Talk of the Town on Supertalk 1270. I'm Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on Supertalk 1270. We're talking with Bobby Atkins and Stuart from iTank Data. They do work with Credence, do work in North Dakota. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the KISS principle, and that seems what they have stumbled onto, because sometimes for people like me, keeping it simple, stupid is a good thing to do. Former Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford tasked with the Petroleum Council finding workforce. And when you take a look at what you guys have come up with iTank Data and working closely with Credence out in the oil patch in North Dakota, with the ability to cut down on some of the labor force needs, logistics, of course, cost is always tied with logistics, but it's also man hours, and getting from one site to another site in a rural setting takes time. So we're cutting down on some of the labor costs, some of the labor logistics. That frees up a lot of workforce to do other things. And that's one of the things that you guys have really come across with iTank Data.
Yeah, you know, consistently, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Consistently. Go ahead, Stuart.
Yeah, consistently across our petrochemical vendors, the one thing that's we've seen in each case is an improved efficiency of 20 to 25% pickup in time in the week. And that time has normally been being spent driving and checking tank levels and checking for, you know, pump activity and things like that. And now the ability to see all the tanks and do inventories from an office remotely within literally minutes across as many as 500 to 1,000 tanks. That's now, you know, fewer driving miles, fewer people driving around checking on those things. They can tell that the pumps are working properly. They can, you know, identify the tank levels and that, you know, the rates that are going down are in line with what they should be versus literally driving from tank to tank to tank to tank and having people doing it for hours and days at a time each week. And so that's been one of the things that the clients, you know, they all operate a little bit differently, but they've consistently told us that's one of the biggest savings.
How about when it comes to some of the other areas as well? I mean, safety, or whether it's response time, I would imagine that stuff is completely, well, priceless, really, if you talk about spills and response time.
Yeah, 100% right on that. Because, you know, we report usage on a daily basis, you know, they can tell if a pump is slowed down. Most times they've slowed down. Sometimes they've sped up, or there's a leak or some type of drain. And by being able to identify that, you know, they can catch it within 24 to 36 hours versus, you know, maybe it might be a week later when they drive up the tank and they see it's been dripping.
Thank you, folks, for listening. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. Till then, from the staff here at the Crude Life Week in Review, my name is Jason Spies, asking each and every one of you to remember, all energy has a purpose, and we are all energy. Go make it a fantastic week. Did you know that I was a 1099 entrepreneur at age 10? That's right. When all the highly paid executives, editors, and journalists did their job, they handed the finished newspaper off to me as a 10-year-old independent contractor that could either deliver 200 newspapers to 200 homes or to two dumpsters. One of the beautiful aspects of entrepreneurism is they're often rooted with solving a problem. It's the intuition that makes your life better. Entrepreneurs, innovators exude emotion, just like the entrepreneurs at mystore.com. Folks, check it out. Use the promo code Otis. Go to mystore.com. Go to mypillow.com. Use the 800 number, 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. And don't forget to use the promo code Otis.